Our scripture passage this morning is from Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 6 and 32 through 36. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. And then verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death.
Well, good morning. Welcome again. If I haven't met you, my name's Jim. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my privilege to lead us as we continue in our study of Proverbs. If you have your Bibles open, after the introductory comments, verse 2, we're told that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And then why are they given to us? That we may know wisdom. To know wisdom. And we said last week that a better translation there probably for us is not just to know wisdom, because that might communicate that we know about wisdom or we know of wisdom. This book wasn't given to us for more head knowledge. This book was given to us from our God that we may gain wisdom, that it might be a part of our lives, that we would experientially live this out, that we would be a people who live life well, who live with skill. When you think of the book of Proverbs, if you've ever read it, there's all kinds of different categories. So this is a wisdom for living life well, life with skill, in all of these various categories. So we're looking at Proverbs and we're praying that God would lead us to gain wisdom, that we really would be changed. And we come, hopefully, with excitement. We come before our God asking for God to lead us toward wisdom. And today, this is the second kind of introductory sermon on Proverbs. And then last week I said we'll have three sermons on Proverbs. We're actually going to have four because Benjamin Tuari, who was kind of slotted in the middle there, is also going to preach from Proverbs. So Bart, then Eric, then Benjamin, and I will each take a proverb from later in the book and preach that over the next 4 weeks. So today we come to the second introductory thought from Proverbs, and there is a connection I want us to see between gaining wisdom, and how we listen. How we listen, that's the main emphasis this morning. Brief illustration as we start. I was at the doctor this week, and my doctor gave me some medication, and she said to me, when you take this pill, always eat food with it and drink water with this pill. How many times have you heard that from your doctor, right? You get the medicine, whatever. So I think she saw maybe a little bit of that whatever attitude in me, that I was dismissing her comments, possibly. So she told me just a brief story from her own life, and she said, I had the same medication. I was on a camping trip. I took it, dry swallowed this medication one night on a camping trip. No food, no water. She said, I burned my esophagus and I couldn't eat for a week. She knew that would hit home to me, right? Can't eat. I burned my esophagus, I couldn't eat for a week. So when you take this pill, make sure you eat food, drink water with this pill. And I listened. And I think that's a bit of what we have in Proverbs. Again and again, right? We might hear it, but we hear these little stories, these little anecdotes, these little sayings that drive it home. Maybe because you're a little like me at the doctor and like, God realizes we're not really listening sometimes. We need these vivid points of application in our lives, these stories, these sayings to help us truly gain wisdom. So that's what we're looking at, gaining wisdom and living with this lifestyle of dependence before God and a posture of listening. So as we begin, just a few questions. How well do you listen? So you think about your life, how well do you listen to God, to his word right now? Have you already lost focus on the preacher? How well do you listen to those who love you? Maybe you're a teenager. How well do you listen to your parents? Maybe you're a spouse, right? How well do you listen to your spouse? Other people in your lives, how well do you listen? Do you live with a posture of listening and a lifestyle of dependence before God and before others? There's the question. Do I live with a posture of listening and a lifestyle of dependence before God and before others? Well, let me pray for us, and then we'll look at this. Father, we thank you for our time of worship so far, for the songs, for the truths that we could sing together, for your invitation to us and the call to repentance and the assurance of pardon, for the opportunity we have had to pray for our partners around the world. And now as we come to your word, our prayer is, speak, O Lord. Speak and help us to receive. Help us to listen. Help each one of us to come to you with open arms, receptive to what you have for us in your word. Please, God, we pray that you'd give us your spirit and your spirit would speak and that we would be changed. We thank you for your grace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to use the book of Proverbs like the Marauder's Map that first appears in the third book in the Harry Potter series. So you don't have to have any awareness of Harry Potter for this, but the Marauder's Map is a magical map that locates everyone at Hogwarts, which is the school where Harry and his friends attended, right? So for example, many times Harry and his friends would sneak out through the halls of Hogwarts and they could take their map with them and it would show just where the mean duo of Argus Filch, the caretaker, and his cat, Mrs. Norris, it would show where they were so they could avoid them. And it would show Harry and his friends where they were in case they were lost. So it's a magical map where you could kind of find yourself. And that's how I want us to use Proverbs. And I actually think this is one of the main points of the book of Proverbs. It is given to us that we might locate ourselves. And these two paths come up again and again. I'm either on this path to wisdom, the path of the wise, or we are on the path of the fool. Two options. And so my goal is that as we think about the book of Proverbs and we think about the verses that Pam read for us, that we would be able to locate ourselves. That we each would be able to say, am I on the path of the wise? Is this how I live my life? Or am I on the path of the fool? And I'm being general in some ways, right? This is introductory to Proverbs because we could kind of break down the different paths and many, especially the path of the fool. We could break it down to the path of the sluggard, the path of the scoffer, the path of the wicked. So it kind of like breaks off in many places. But we're just thinking big picture, these two paths, the path of the wise and the path of the fool. So our first point this morning is distinguishing the path of the wise and the path of the fool. And then we'll look briefly, that'll be most of our time, distinguishing the paths. Then secondly, we'll look briefly at the invitations in Proverbs to switch paths. We might be on the path of the fool, but we can switch. Well, we might be on the path of the wise, and we can switch and make decisions to lead to the other way. And then just close by looking at where we are at today. Where are we going? So number one, distinguishing the path of the wise and the path of the fool. How do we distinguish these two ways of living? What do people in these two ways, walking down these paths, how do they look different from one another? How do they act? What does it look like, according to Proverbs, according to God, to be wise or to be foolish? We talked a bit about wisdom last week, and it's important as we come to this, we still have that context that wisdom isn't just knowledge. We're not talking about smarts here. We're not talking about intellect, right? Wisdom, as we started, is a skill of living life well, and wisdom in Proverbs is tied to righteousness, right? One scholar said these are co-referential terms. These belong together. To be wise is to be righteous. To be righteous is to be wise. So we need to understand this term righteous. It's a very social term. To be righteous is to do right by others, to treat them as they should be treated. And one scholar said, to be righteous is to disadvantage self for the advantage of others. So that was last week. But we come and we look at these two paths, we need to understand this wisdom that we are looking at. Wisdom is not just knowledge, it's a skill of living life well, and wisdom and righteousness go together. But how do we distinguish these two paths? I thought about doing this only for a few seconds because it wouldn't work. But this week I was able to read through the whole book of Proverbs. And I thought about, well, I could give this assignment out. This is an assignment you have to take home. We'll say that, right? You have to do this this week. But it was such a helpful assignment for me. Read through the book of Proverbs and put a W every time Proverbs pointed to the path of wisdom. And I put an F in my Bible every time the Proverbs pointed to the path of the fool. And it became so clear. A main emphasis of the book of Proverbs, the main distinguishing factor is how we listen. How we listen to God and how we listen to others. There are some other themes, of course, throughout. It's not only how we listen, but then how we speak. And there you can see the connection, right? We listen, so we're quick to hear, slow to speak, as we saw in James. So that theme comes through. We speak in a certain way if we're wise. Then another main emphasis of Proverbs is not just listening and how we speak, but who we trust in. There's this emphasis of dependence. But the main theme, by far, if you were to read through the book of Proverbs, if you take this assignment, the main theme is how do we listen? The opening nine chapters, right? The father is challenging the son throughout most of these nine chapters. And again, the father says to the son, listen to me. Take heed to what I say. Incline your ear to me. Be attentive to my message. Again and again, this is emphasized. And then in chapters 10 through 31, we could go through 30, 40 verses that point to this theme. I'll just give you two. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So we're distinguishing these two paths. We're trying to learn from the wisdom of God. What distinguishes the path of the wise from the path of the fool? Here it is, do you listen? Do you listen to God and do you listen to others? And there's other themes that come through here. Do you move towards receiving counsel from others? Do you even love people correcting you and rebuking you? This is the path of the wise. Please correct me. Please give me counsel. I want to listen to you. You know, I come to this, and as you know, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be a good listener. And it's easy to come to this and think, yeah, I got this, right? I meet with people all the time. I have lunch. I listen. If you were to ask me, let's go back 4 years to 2020. If you were to say, Jim, what grade would you give yourself in listening to others? You know, if I wasn't being modest, I'd say, you know, maybe A minus. Pretty good. I care about others. I have a job where I'm supposed to listen to others. God has given me a desire to help others. I know the importance of listening. This is 2020 Jim, right? I know the importance of listening. I like reading God's word. I like studying God's word. I pray God speak to me as I read my Bible. I would have said pretty good. But I think I was blind, and probably still am, to be clear, to some of the ways I didn't listen to others. And just a brief story from my life, I would say one of the kindest things that God did in my life, in my ministry over the last 5 years, is to really knock me beside the head and show me how bad I was at listening to people. I'll give just the short version now, but during, you know, we go back to 2020, and then as we fast forward, we get to those beautiful COVID years. And for all of us, there were different times of disagreement during the COVID years. And in some of the disagreements that I had, people said, Jim, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. And I said, oh, okay, I will try. You know, I heard it. But I thought to myself, they're not really right about me. I do listen well. So that was going on in my life. And then a few months later, by God's grace, he did knock me beside the head and opened my eyes to my weakness. And the story is this. Many of you know Gabby that we just prayed for, delightful missionary from Ecuador. My wife and I had her into our home and ate dinner together, and the kids were playing off somewhere doing something, and the three of us were in our living room. And Gabby and I are talking. She's like a sister to me, little sister. She's non-confrontational. She's super nice, a little reluctant to disagree. And so we're talking about the upcoming mission trip that we're planning. I think the third or fourth mission trip that our church has gone on. And I had this view, this idea from the first time I landed in Ecuador. I wanted to climb to the top of Mount Cotopaxi. Now, you should be thinking already, that is such a stupid idea. Like, you should be thinking that, but I had it in my heart. That is what I wanted to do. And this trip, it was a smaller trip. I think 8 or 9 of us were going. Most of the others were decently athletic. I know how to just endure pain, so even if I'm not that good of shape, we could do this. So my message to Gabby is, we can climb Mount Cotopaxi. It's 19,000 feet up. It's normal people can do it. But anyways, I had it in my mind, we are going to do this. And Gabby's like, well, Jim, I don't think so. No, we could do it this way. We could get there a day early. We could, boom. I don't think so, Jim. Doesn't seem like a good idea. You know, people could die. You're right. Just so like nice, like not disagreeing with me. And this is, I don't know how long this went on. Maybe 5-10 minutes, sadly, from my end, where I'm just, some might call this my bulldozer mode. Like, I have an idea. This can happen. This can happen. We can climb Mount Cotopaxi. No one's going to get in my way. And my wife, who wasn't a part of the conversation but in the room, just said, Jim, you're not listening. You're not listening to her. And it was in that moment, doesn't seem like a big deal, but boom, not just the Gabby context, not just that conversation, but going back to the previous months where people said, Jim, you're not listening, Jim, you're not listening. It was as if light bulb moment, lightning moment, that God in his grace showed me my tendency. If I have an idea, I'm not going to listen to you. Who are you to get in my way? I'm going to do this. One of God's great kindnesses to me, and hopefully makes me a better husband and father and pastor, is to show me I thought I was a good listener, but in some ways, in some very important situations, I was a horrible listener. I was tuning this person out who knew more about, who knew about all these things, tuning them out because I had what I wanted to do. And I tell this story to testify to God's goodness to me, sure, but to get all of us to step back and say, am I really a good listener? Are we too quick to say, I got this, I listen well? May we too be blind to ways that we ignore others, ways that we don't listen? Are there aspects of our lives where we're just living independently without any concern for other people's counsel, other people's insight? I think this is huge for us. I think we all need help here. So the main distinguishing factor is, do we listen? And now we can think of some categories of listening. Number one, are we a people? If we want to be on this path to wisdom, if we want to gain wisdom, be marked by wisdom, number one, do we listen to God? That's a theme. Do we listen to God? Proverbs 10:8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, receive the commandments of God. This posture of, give me your commandments, God. Proverbs 13:13, whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. Do we listen? What's despising the word? I don't need the word. Ignoring the word, not spending time in the word. Treating the word as if it's nothing. It's kind of on the periphery of my life. Whoever despises the word, they're on the path of the fool. It brings destruction, but he who reveres the commandment, this is the path of the wise. They will be rewarded. So first, are we listening to our God, to his word, to his spirit, to his teaching, to his preaching? And what does this look like for us? If we think of our personal time in the word, is it just something we got to check this off? We got to do it. We do it reluctantly. Or do we come to God's word in prayer saying, speak, O Lord, I need you to speak. I need your wisdom. I need your counsel. I need you, God, to expose ways that I think, ways that I feel, certain things I'm doing, things I say. I need you to expose these things so that you might lead me forward in your truth, in your wisdom, in your love. Show me my sin, Jesus. We pray like David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I'm listening. I'm listening. Please speak. Are we a people marked by this posture of listening before our God where we don't think, I know I should do this. I know I should do this. This is the way I'm going. Just going through our lives. No time to pray. No time to look at God's word. Just doing my thing. Doing my thing. We live in a highly independent age, and it affects us more than we know. So as we live our lives, as we're all in different contexts, different phases of life, how much are we in this posture before God? God, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Lead me. I need your wisdom. I need your counsel. I'm coming to your word that you might speak to me. I need your counsel, Spirit. Please give me wisdom. So number one, do we listen to God? Number two, a main theme of Proverbs is listening to others. Listening to others. A few verses here. Follow me here. This is a main theme. Be not wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 15:31-32. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. 11:14, in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. 10:17, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Pretty blunt, right? He who hates reproof is stupid. And even more blunt, whoever hates reproof will die. 18:1, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And one more, in Proverbs 1, we see right at the end of the first chapter of Proverbs, Solomon says, the fool is the one who refuses to listen, who ignores counsel, who will have nothing to do with reproof. So do we listen well to others? Trying to figure out where we're at on these two paths. Do we listen well to others? As you make decisions, how much do you pursue the counsel of others? How much do you pursue the safety of many counselors? As you raise your kids, how much do you pursue the wisdom of others? Or you just do your thing. I know that this is best. This is what I'm going to do. How much do you pursue the wise counsel of others? As you think of areas of sexuality and responding well in different contexts, as we live in this age where so much is changing, how much do you receive? Are you receptive to the counsel of others? As you think about your marriage, as you think about your finances, as you think of work-life balance, as you think about how much church involvement you should have, as you think about changing churches, all of these things, how much do you seek the counsel of others? Do you just do it all on your own? Do you pursue the wisdom of others? Are you listening well? And then there's a specific challenge throughout Proverbs where we need to ask ourselves, how do we relate to correction and rebuke? You want to know what path you're on? Ask yourself this question, how do I relate to correction and rebuke? Because it's very clear, those who step towards it, those who want to receive it, those who want to hear it, are those who are wise. Those who welcome it, look for it, those are the ones who are wise. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. For each of us, right? Proverbs says folly is bound up in the heart of a child, right? Discipline drives it out. But for many of us, we still have much folly bound up in our hearts. Those cords of folly still seem to entangle us. And sometimes the culture in which we live, it's such an independent, highly individualized culture that we just want to do our thing. We need to hear the wisdom of Proverbs. We need to hear the wisdom of Proverbs, this posture of listening. wanting counsel, wanting correction, wanting, not having all the answers, not focusing on all the problems around us and all the problems of everyone else and all the problems in our community and all the problems in our spouse and all the problems. God, speak to me, lead me, give me your wisdom. So in distinguishing between the path of the wise and the path of the fool, our focus is on listening. Do we listen? What will this look like practically? I think this has shaped at least some of the philosophy of ministry here, some of our goals, number one, being intergenerational ministry. Friendships, right? You may be a student pursuing a PhD in some crazy science. You might be brilliant in so many ways. You might be one of the leaders and best even. But there is profound wisdom here in this room from men and women who might just have a high school diploma and no more, who have lived longer, who have been shaped by experience, by trial, and by hardship, and you need their wisdom. You desperately need their wisdom. You need to pursue their counsel. You need to have these friendships from people from different backgrounds, from different places and different age groups. May this shape us where we're living our lives seeking this counsel. Proverbs 3, we have these beautiful verses that apply here where we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We are so prone to lean on our own understanding. Instead, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. So how do we? We hear this call to have this posture of humility, ready to listen, depending on God. How do we do this? How can we do this? We need to go to Jesus again. We don't just go to Jesus because we're supposed to go to Jesus. We need Jesus for this because through the cross of Jesus, when we trust in him, we know that we are accepted fully. We do not need to be wise in our own eyes. We do not need to prove ourselves. We can receive a wisdom from above. We are fully accepted in his love. So this leads to a posture of, I don't have all the answers. I don't have to show off. I don't have to live this life on my own. It's a dependence. It's a trust. It's okay if I don't know. It's okay if I'm wrong. It's okay if I need correction. I am accepted. And now part of God's gift to us is to lead us into community where we receive this loving counsel and sometimes loving correction to make us more like Jesus, to give us wisdom as we serve in our various roles, marriages, family life, parenting, all these things. It's because of the way of the gospel I can step into this and live with this posture. Please show me, God, my hidden sins, and to my community, to those I'm in tight relation, please show me the ways that I need to grow, that I may run to Jesus, find forgiveness where I need forgiveness, and power to change where I need to change. Inviting this correction, inviting this rebuke. So how do we distinguish between these two paths, the way of the fool and the way of the wise and the way of the fool? Do you listen? Do you live with this posture? Do you live your life looking for counsel and correction and for rebuke? If we had time, we could go to 1 Samuel. There's a beautiful illustration there of the man Nabal and his wife Abigail, where David has some interactions with Nabal, and Nabal just disregards David. And everybody around Nabal is trying to talk to him, trying to give him, talk sense into him. And then one of Nabal's men says to Abigail, Nabal's wife, he is such a worthless man, none can speak to him. There is the fool. There is the fool. None can speak to him. How would people around you describe you? Are there people in your life that they kind of want to maybe bring some loving correction, but they know this won't go well? I'm not doing that. This will not go well. Or do we live with this posture of acceptance? We're listening, ready to hear. This is the distinguishing factor in Proverbs. This is it. Do we listen? Quickly, in Proverbs, it's important to see that there's an invitation to change the way that we live, to change paths. Proverbs 8:17, those who seek me, wisdom says, will diligently find me. Just look for me. Chapter 9, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread freely, drink of the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. Here is this free invitation. Today we come, God's word is to challenge us, and there may be ways we see, man, I was blind to how badly I was listening to God. I was blind to the fact that I was disregarding God's word because of the time I spend in it, because what I do, I was disregarding. That's the path to destruction. I was blind, now I see. We don't just say, oh man, now I have to continue down this path of the fool. No, come, wisdom says, change paths, open invitation, walk in the way of wisdom. How? Jesus says, come, I'll forgive you. I'll lead you. The spirit of wisdom will lead us. The way is open for the simple. These are the youths in Proverbs who are walking in foolishness. The way is open for the fool. The way is even open in Proverbs to the scoffer, those who have rejected. The way is open because of God, because of his grace. We're invited into this path of wisdom. Every single person here is given this invitation to switch paths. We don't have to just look at our past and say, okay, I have to continue on this road. This is where I've walked. This is where I'm going. No, the God of the Bible is the God of grace, and he's the God of wisdom who calls you to change, and he gives us the power to change. Anything we need to be forgiven of, we come to Jesus and find forgiveness. Anything we need going forward, we live with this posture, and God will, as James says, give us the wisdom we ask for. He's provided. He gives the invitation, and he provides all that we need to change paths. So I ask you this morning, where are you, and where are you going? On the map of Proverbs, where do you find yourself? Are you one who reveres God's word and comes to it each day saying, God, guide me, speak to me, show me, lead me. I need your wisdom. Oh, Spirit of God, walk with me today. That's the path of wisdom. How, in your communities and your friendships, do you respond to correction and counsel? Again, teenagers, how do you respond to your parents' correction? Talk about major cultural change. Being a teenager who says, Dad, is there anything that you think should change? Not just teenagers, in marriages. Is there anything that, like, what are some of my main weaknesses? What are things that I don't see? Instead of which is probably my heart and your heart often is some kind of correction comes and, well, what about this in you, right? And friendship and marriage, oh, you think this about, what about this? You have this weakness. Let's focus on you, not me. Path of wisdom is being able to receive that without turning it back on them and say, yes, thank you. This is love. Are we a people who listen well? We have to see. You know, we live in a place where many here are very focused in life, shown a lot of initiative. It's easy to look at others that just make stupid decisions and think, I'm quite focused on my life. I have goals. I'm going somewhere. I have a good job. I'm not out partying every night, drinking my life away, or playing video games 24/7. I work out. I eat healthy. I'm not stupid. It's easy then to make the jump and say, well, then that means I'm wise. I'm not like them, making some horrible choices. You may not make as many stupid decisions, but that does not mean you're walking in the way of wisdom. Here is wisdom, Proverbs 8 again. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear, Hear instruction and then be wise. Don't neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Here is wisdom. Which path are you on? This impacts you and your future. We see it in Proverbs. This impacts those around you. Communal implications to your choice of walking in the way of the fool or the way of the wise. This is God's gift to us. Will we listen? Will we change? Will we walk in humility before our God and before each other? We look to Jesus for forgiveness, for power, as we seek change. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and for this theme. I pray that your Spirit would open our eyes to what is true, that we each would slow down and consider how we listen, consider what path we are on. Are we a people who can walk in humility, this posture of listening, this lifestyle of dependence? Are we self-assured? Are we evaluating everyone else? Are we coming with the critical comments? Father, help us to walk in this way before you, that you would show us ourselves, and by grace that you'd lead us more and more to confession, repentance, to faith, and to change. Make us more like Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.